John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We got a World Series, Mr. David, and we got a man covering it. Let's head out to Los Angeles, and there we find the great man himself, John Heyman, joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. John, we've seen this one. We just haven't seen it in 40 years or so.
Well, I mean, sorry to sound like a New Yorker, but isn't this the way it's supposed to be?
Yes.
New York and L.A., Yankees, Dodgers, all the history, tradition, and the biggest stars. I mean, the two biggest payrolls among the active players. I mean, obviously, the Mets have a lot of dead money hanging around, so they've spent the most. But Yankees and Dodgers, two biggest payrolls among players who are actually employed and working for the team, and huge stars. I mean, Soto, Judge, Ohtani, Betts. I mean, this is going to be a very, very watched, very, very popular World Series. Maybe that's a New York perspective, but hey, I'm on your show, so you get my perspective.
I love that perspective, John, because I totally agree with you here in Chicago. It's the World Series I wanted to see. I think a lot of people are looking forward to. Just curious, when you look at what each team has accomplished in the postseason, they have all the stars. Maybe we expected this, but has one team overcome more than the other?
Absolutely, the Dodgers have. I mean, you got to give them credit. White Sox, former White Sox yesterday in a bullpen game, through two bullpen games. They do not really have a starter who is 100% healthy right now. You've got, you know, Flaherty with the back situation. You've got Yamamoto coming off the shoulder situation, Buehler back from Tommy John. That's it. That's their rotation. They're missing Glasnow, Stone, Kershaw, May, Gonsolin. I mean, they are missing a ton of star pitchers, and they have overcome a lot to get here. I mean, I can't say that about the Yankees, really. They've been relatively healthy this year, and right now already is a cliche. They're firing on all cylinders. I mean, I don't know. I read in the LA Times today the Dodgers should be favored, but maybe that's their perspective. From mine, I think the Yankees should be favored. They're the far healthier team, and the Dodgers did overcome a lot. I know people probably in the Midwest don't want to hear about what they overcame, but they do have a ton of injuries, and they did overcome.
John, I don't know how this applies to Major League Baseball, but just out of a spirit of fairness, shouldn't they give more to the White Sox for Michael Kopech than they had to at the time?
Oh, you mean now?
Yes. Yes. Now they say,
now,
you know what?
We're not going to make
we took you to the cleaners. We feel bad about it. The guy's
also
better than
Tommy Edman is the reason the Sox were involved in that deal.
Yeah.
The three-team deal, John, that's
right.
Made a big impact.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, the Sox are making a big impact here in October. Good for them. I mean, the Dodgers did better than anybody at the deadline. I mean, they have all the advantages to begin with, but they were the most clever team to get Tommy Edman, who's really more a center fielder, I think, and a third baseman. He was good at short, and he hit up a storm, amazing, the NLCS MVP. That was part of the deal. I mean, that deal, it was a great deal for the Dodgers. Kopech did not have much of a market. I mean, he, you know, what did he have, a 4-plus ERA with the White Sox? I mean,
he had an immaculate inning, John. I know that.
He did have that great inning. He did have that great inning. I mean, good for the Dodgers to take advantage. And, I mean, I think the White Sox probably should have just held on to him because, from my understanding, they did not have great offers for him. And I don't think they really had great offers for Crochet either. I mean, my understanding is the Dodgers were willing to trade Gavin Lux, maybe in one or two others. You know, I mean, he's a fine second baseman. I mean, Crochet's got that big arm. I mean, his value is greater than that. White Sox, for all the talent that they had, I mean, Robert was having a terrible year. Crochet had the innings issue. Kopech had been switched to the bullpen and wasn't really performing. You know, it wasn't the trade deadline that it should have been. I mean, to me, Fetty, 7-4 with the White Sox, that one should have gotten more.
Definitely.
I mean, I think you should have gotten more from Fetty.
All right, John, let's talk about the Mets. And when I say talk about the Mets, let's talk about Pete Alonso, because obviously magical postseason for the Mets and a really clutch postseason for Pete Alonso. Now, he talked at his locker after the game last night about what's ahead for him in terms of free agency. He said the very nice things you would expect him to say about the team he just led. But I do wonder, how likely is it that Pete Alonso leaves New York?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a – it's, you know, probably 50-50. I know that's not really giving you a great answer, but, I mean, I would say this. Until he hit that home run in Milwaukee, I thought it was 0% he'd be back with the Mets. I mean, he had a rather mundane 34 home runs this year, did not hit any big ones. Then in the postseason with a well over 900 OPS, the two big home runs, the three-run homer against the Dodgers, game five to extend it. The Milwaukee home run, maybe the best home run in Mets history. I know people would argue for Ray Knight in the World Series, but, you know, I think it's pretty iffy whether he comes back for them. I mean, he switched to Scott Boras, right? So we assume he's looking for the best deal, and you can't blame him for that, and there'll be other teams out there interested in him, and, you know, it's going to be a fight. I mean, Boras is looking at deals that were more than 10 years old for Fielder and Teixeira and Chris Davis. I mean, a lot of people will tell you those deals didn't work, but they were done, and they, you know, they were star players, and it was more than 10 years ago, but, you know, the Mets are going to latch on to the Freddie Freeman deal and the Paul Goldschmidt, the more recent deals that were not, you know, nearly as much money for the star first baseman. And frankly, more guys were more accomplished than Alonso, as good as he is. I mean, he didn't win MVPs like Freeman and Goldschmidt.
So watching that at bat that that Juan Soto had and that home run that he hit and what it took to get to it and then how impressive and important that was, is this another guy that will be back, or could the Mets try to pull like a half a billion dollar deal to get him out of the Yankees, keep him in New York?
Yeah, I mean, the Mets were very polite, did not go after Aaron Judge a couple of years ago, homegrown Yankee, didn't figure they had a chance there. I mean, here they can outbid. I mean, look, Steve Cohen is willing to lose money. My understanding, he lost $200 million last year. Probably, even with the team doing well this year, he probably dropped another $200 million. I believe that. I think 28 out of 30 teams, I think, are making money, but I think they're one of the teams not making money, and he's willing to lose money, and if he goes for the best deal, it probably will be in Queens with the Mets. So I'm not going to rule that one out at all, and I'm not going to think that if they win the World Series, it's going to affect it one way or the other. I don't believe that has any effect on it, but I would say that while he has had some issues with New York, it's generally been a positive experience with the Yankees, understandably so. And I think that the two New York teams are probably the favorites. Never rule out the Dodgers in this. I mean, I'll rule out some big market teams, one of them in your territory, but I'm not going to rule out the Dodgers at Soto.
So if you are looking at the Yankees as the team most likely to be favored and you're looking at them as a potential World Series champion, John, the stars will be the stars. Is there an unsung hero that you think will emerge, a guy who will become one of those World Series legends with a name that might not be immediately recognizable, but you never forget?
Yeah, you know, I think almost every name is, maybe it's the New York perspective, I think they're all recognizable with the Yankees. I mean, Anthony Volpe is hitting the ball very well in his first postseason ever. We've had those kind of little guy shortstop middle infielders come up and do well in the past, Lemke and others, I mean, going back of several years, but that kind of guy can emerge, certainly. I think all eyes will be on Soto, Judge, Ohtani, Betts, and all the rest of the 200 and 300 and more million-dollar players, and Soto will probably be $600 million and more than that. But you're right. It does happen in a short series. Anything can happen. And, you know, that's my perspective, that the Yankees should be favored. I think it is very close. I mean, I just think that their health is better. They have all their pitchers ready to go, actual starters. I mean, the Dodgers really pieced it together. And how long does that go on, that Trinan, Phillips, and Kopech? just keep going. Everybody else's relievers have all blown up at this point, right? I mean, Clase, you couldn't have been any worse than him. And
oh my.
He was the best reliever going, and he's not alone. Devin Williams, shockingly, got killed. Basically every bullpen has been iffy except for L.A., and now they're into their third series. Obviously, they had the first one off with a bye, but they're into their third series. How long do they keep it going? And they need their relievers more than anybody. I mean, they got the seven-inning start out of Flaherty, and they didn't get 5 innings after that in the next 5 games from any of them.
So I guess we conclude that offense means more than pitching in the postseason, right, based on these two teams?
I don't think so. I just don't think anybody really has their pitching together right now. So they're all kind of on a level playing field in that regard. And the reason I favor the Yankees at this point is because their pitching is together. So I think it's 50-50. I mean, you hear the people say pitching is 90% of the game now. It's offense, whatever. It's a batter-pitcher battle. And so I think it's 50-50. But right now the hitters have the upper hand, and nobody has really figured out how to keep these pitchers healthy and sound through to the end. Dodgers have done it so far with the bullpen that's been, I don't want to say overused, because they're still performing. They've been heavily used, and they're doing a good job with that. But they certainly have, as much as anybody, they have not finished figuring out how to keep their starters healthy. And the team that does that really will have the upper hand, that can figure it out. Because, I mean, look, the Braves lost. They're big starters. The Orioles did, and they didn't survive. Dodgers made it through. Somehow they've got a great bullpen, and certainly a Kopech part of that. Sorry about that, Mully. But, I don't know. Maybe you root for him. He was a White Sox at one point.
And John, dare I delve into White Sox business, but last week we had a report from The Athletic that Jerry Reinsdorf is entertaining discussions or in active discussions to sell the team to a group led by Dave Stewart. We also have a managerial vacancy that is yet to be filled. A lot of names on a list, none of them with experience. Do you have thoughts on those two issues specifically with the White Sox?
Yeah, first on the manager, I wouldn't expect anybody with good experience to want that job. If somebody's been a manager and been terrible, they might want to take a shot because they're not going to get anywhere else. So they got to figure out which one of these guys who have limited experience or no major league managing experience can do it. I mean, you've seen some good names with some experience, but none who's an accomplished major league manager. I mean, obviously, Phil Nevin is well thought of, and he didn't really have a full chance with the Angels. You've got Descalso, McCulloch here with the Dodgers, and I know he's getting a big recommendation from them. Lombard with the Tigers. Those are the names that I've heard and can confirm. I'm sure there are many others. I'm sure their list is long. They're going to have to figure out who's going to make a good manager. I give the Marlins credit. They hired Skip Schumacher, and he was fantastic. I doubt that they could get Skip Schumacher to do it. He will wait for probably a better chance. But, they just got to figure it out, and they might hit on it. Who knows? I mean, some of these guys that they've got on their list, I know from a Marlins person, they finished like 9th and 10th in the Marlins managerial derby, so they didn't think they were going to be good. And the Marlins ended up picking Schumacher. Well, for all you can say about the Marlins, they did a good job. I mean, they had Schumacher as their pick, and they had Quatraro, who's doing a good job with Kansas City as their second choice. I think Luis Rojas, the Yankee third base coach who made a bad send 2 days ago, was their third choice. I haven't heard his name yet, but it would make sense. He did have some experience with the Mets and seems to be a pretty sharp guy.
Do you
and
like
on the owner? Yep. Let me just on the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, I sent Dave Stewart a text, good luck, and that was it. Because I'm covering the World Series, and he gave me a thumbs up, so I think he is interested in the team. Reinsdorf has entertained this for quite a while, and I don't know how serious it is. When I emailed him a couple years ago, he offered the team to me. I think that was probably a joke. I don't think I think he knows the writers are not going to be able to buy a team, but it'd probably be a conflict of interest even if I could. I don't know.
You and Tom Brady.
I don't. Yeah, he's in the media. Yeah, I know. I don't know how serious it is at this point. He probably is entertaining it and thinking about it. I mean, it has kind of been basketball first for him. He's obviously had overall much more success with the basketball team than the baseball team. And I know he's very frustrated about what's gone on with the baseball team. And, you know, obviously they've not done a good job. It's you can't, 41 wins, it's not going well. I will say that.
Do you like the series starting on Friday, John? Just or would you think they want to get that going?
Well, quicker? I'm not religious. You know, I don't. Why Friday? Why are you asking me about
it? Well, I mean, why not Wednesday? Why not Thursday? Why wait? Why not get to it?
They did have that new rule that they were going to move it up if both series ended at 5. But I'm okay here. I'm staying in L.A. I'm not going to fly back and forth, so I'm staying here. It's very nice. It's 80 degrees and sunny every day. Sorry to mention that to you, Chicagoans. And
thanks, John.
It's okay. We've been all right.
I'm okay with it. I mean, I think Friday's probably a good night for viewing. Okay. I don't know. I'm not a TV expert, so I don't know. I'm fine with the next few days. The teams that got the byes are here. I know we had the teams. There was some questioning about that, and I don't know. There isn't any reason that if you get a bye and get rest, you're going to be, not yourself. And I think it's fine. I'm okay with a few days. And there'll be some big buildup. I've already seen that cheapest ticket, I'm not sure what stadium, this is $1,000 already.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, you got to have some deep pockets, huh? I already called it, John, months ago, that Ohtani comes on as a reliever and strikes out Judge, Soto, name the guy to win the World Series.
Game seven.
Sure.
He relieves.
Yeah, I mean, he did it in the WBC. Struck out Trout, buddy, his old teammate, and I can see it. I don't know. Striking out Soto, not so easy as you saw. I can see more easily striking out Judge.
I think it's more likely to be Kopech.
Oh, you're killing Molly. You're hurting him.
I'm sorry, John.
So mean. Sorry. You're not sorry to John.
I'm not sorry to John. I'm sorry to Molly.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry to Molly. Yeah, great stuff, John.
John, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you later.
That is John Heyman. He is great. Look at that.
Getting got a week in L.A.
Come on.
Of course he's getting up for
degrees.
Us. It's beautiful out there.
It's 7:20 out there.
Yeah, you know, a little coffee, go for a walk. It'd be great running weather out there. California, here I come.
Yeah.
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 It'd be great to be out there.
You would run to the nearest soda fountain so you could be discovered. are those the old days when they used to discover people?
Can you humor me when we come back? I got to talk about this White Sox list of managerial candidates that is double digits in terms of length.
I thought we had decided that we weren't ever going to speak of this.
We can briefly touch on it, but I just want to go through the list to get your reaction in real time.
See, you're just going to get me in trouble. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
I wouldn't expect anybody with good experience to want that job. If somebody's been a manager and been terrible, they might want to take a shot because they're not going to get anywhere else. So they got to figure out which one of these guys who have limited experience or no major league managing experience can do it. They just got to figure it out, and they might hit on it. Who knows?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So
that is John Heyman. We just had a nice conversation with John.
It was a nice conversation with John.
Yeah, he's a good man.
I don't know why you're down on John.
No, I'm not down on John. I'm down on you me to talk about
the
managerial.
It's in the news. So the White Sox still need a manager. I am surprised, and I shouldn't be. Boy, is this list long. And boy, is it underwhelming. I just am being honest about my first reaction to this list of managerial candidates that have been identified by several different outlets that cover the White Sox. I think that our guy, James Nelson, and James Fegan, and Josh Nelson from Sox Machine have identified the candidates. And I've talked to a couple other people who have said, mention other names. But Mully, real quick.
Yeah.
Dodgers bench coach Danny Lehman.
Yep.
Rangers bench coach Donnie Ecker. Padres special assistant to Major League staff A.J. Ellis. Tigers bench coach George Lombard. Rangers associate manager Daniel Descalso. Former Cub, right? Former Cub?
Familiar name.
Cardinals bench coach Will Venable. Former Cub coach. Former Angels manager Phil Nevin. Former Mets skipper Buck Showalter.
I like that name.
Dodgers first base coach Clayton McCullough. Popular name. Marlins want him too. And the former Marlins manager Skip Schumacher.
Okay, Skip Schumacher is a guy who was the manager of the year, who's got a connection to La Russa, who has been mentioned as a candidate for this job.
I'd be thrilled with Skip Schumacher.
This is what I was kind of saying.
We just heard from John Heyman that maybe Skip Schumacher would sit this one out and wait for a better job.
Yeah. I would you blame him?
No, I suppose not. He already has been through this in Florida with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder if he has an appetite for how big of a rebuild this really could be. Make a couple trades in the offseason. You get a couple prospects to stockpile. You're still staring at 100 losses next year, at least. I don't know what direction they're going to go. Clayton McCullough seems to be the flavor of the month in Major League Baseball. He apparently is also being recommended to the Marlins for their opening. And the White Sox have talked to him or people about him, apparently. Bruce is big on that one. He reported that name a long time ago.
Yes.
The other ones are just sort of like shrugs. I don't know. I'm sure that they're – but
well, I mean, no offense to what Bruce reported, but that's kind of a shrug too, David. That's not – there's not great certainty
– I agree.
– in any of these names.
That's why I use the word underwhelming to describe the list.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the problem. The problem is that you're relying on people to come up with sort of a really – if it's an outside-the-box type of move, and by that I mean someone that hasn't done the job before, then you're kind of expecting the people that maybe underwhelmed you with the trade of Michael Kopech, with the aiding of a team getting to a World Series, just not them. And you're saying, okay, so now they're going to somehow do something that would not be – sort of, how would you term it? Like, in necessarily the same in unison with the moves they've made to this point.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so I'm just, again, forgive me for not being overwhelmed, but I'm less than overwhelmed.
Michael Kopech always will be the guy that started the game that the Dodgers won to clinch the National League pennant.
Okay. Congratulations.
And Tommy Edman was the NLCS MVP, who was traded by the Cardinals to the Dodgers at the deadline in the same deal that brought the Dodgers Michael Kopech. Thank you, Chris Getz.
Yeah, it was, I believe, Eric Fetty.
Yeah.
That went, the White Sox were happy enough to give away a starting pitcher.
Fetty goes to the Cardinals.
Yes.
The Dodgers get Edman and Kopech.
Yes.
And Miguel Vargas comes to Chicago to outplayed by Brian Ramos.
Tommy Pham was in that.
Oh, yeah, Pham was.
So it was the White Sox giving up three major league players and not getting one back.
All right, just make sure I got it all straight there.
Unless you consider Vargas a major league player.
All right, maybe I'll make you smile with this one. Did you see my favorite column over the weekend in reading various Chicago sports writing, sports pages? You see Sully's column, Paul Sullivan, in the Tribune about the use of the 78?
Yes.
The Sod Father Stadium?
Yes.
Wanting to loan it out or build a makeshift temporary ballpark ready to go opening day so the Tampa Bay Rays can play somewhere. And he's offering basically the 78. Get it ready to go. Let it serve as a little bit of a cameo to see, let people see what the baseball would be like at Clark and Roosevelt in the South Loop.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amusing.
It is amusing.
It's never going to happen.
No,
but it was amusing.
It was amusing.
Love Sully.
Why? I don't want to get into any.
Okay,
I
thought it was entertaining.
I don't have many good things to say regarding the White Sox. Regarding my concerns about the 78 or the rate or wherever. and whether or not Dave Stewart should be brought on.
He texted John Heyman. Thumbs up.
Gave him a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right, we'll change the subject. Did you watch the Hawks over the weekend? They lost 4-2.
I did not because I was not.
Oh, you were
town.
In Boston.
I was in Boston
watching some regatta.
I went to the head of the Charles Regatta.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, you probably have never been to a good regatta.
I never have, but I have been on the Charles River. I have canoed on the Charles River.
Have you canoed?
I told you that.
No.
You
kept that private.
No, I did. It was back in the day when I was in South Bend covering Notre Dame Boston College.
Huh.
And one weekend we got there on a Friday.
And you went for a canoe ride.
We went for a canoe ride on the Charles River.
Wow, that's pretty
cool. It was in mid-October. It was the foliage. We were doing some leaf peeping. It was very, very
leaf peeping.
Autumnal.
Yeah.
Very New England.
I went to the Museum of Fine Art, and I learned about the Wisdom Fist. I was unaware of that until I... saw a couple of the Buddha statues, and they have different depictions. Buddha's doing different things in these statues. He's like, you know, he is praying in some of them,
uh-huh.
and he is, you know, giving lessons on good versus evil. And in a couple of them there, he is doing what is called the Wisdom Fist. That's the Wisdom Fist.
Can you see that, Twitchers?
So you hold on to your forefinger with your left hand.
Okay.
And then you sit like
this.
What's
the significance of that?
The significance is that you are reaching like consciousness, like ultimate consciousness. So Buddha,
you do seem a little calmer
there. Yeah.
This morning.
It was super cool to get to know some of the hand signals that Buddha used. In various art forms, how they were portrayed. And I always thought, like, the Wisdom Fist. Wouldn't you love to give someone the Wisdom Fist?
Apparently, they wouldn't know what you were giving them.
Well, but it's used in some video game. Like, you can punch someone with a Wisdom Fist, which I think is a very funny term. But I found myself sitting most of the day.
That was seemed to be kind of counter to the whole idea of the Wisdom Fist to punch somebody with it.
But it's just a term.
It seemed like a peaceful sort of gesture.
The Buddha was fairly peaceful, I believe.
But you were describing an act of violence.
I wasn't. I was describing a Wisdom Fist.
Getting punched in the face is an act of violence.
Oh, well, I said, wouldn't you love to kind of give you a little Wisdom Fist.
Speaking of getting punched in the mouth, how about Illinois over Michigan over the weekend? That to me,
huge.
Was the biggest statement. We talked to Brett Bielema last week. I bet he would love to come on again to take a little bit of a victory lap. They've got a big game coming up. Do you give them any shot at all to compete with Oregon?
I would take them with the points, if that helps. They're
tough.
I believe it's 21.5 points they're getting. The problem is you got to fly halfway around the world.
That is,
I think you got
just for a conference game.
I think you got to fly to London, and then the only way to get there is through Japan somehow. Doesn't it feel that way?
Like,
it's absurd to fly to Eugene, Oregon,
for a conference matchup.
Yes, it's just weird.
It's a little bit unorthodox because you're getting used to it. The conference realignment has made this the reality. I were a member of that Illinois football team, though, I would relish the opportunity.
Okay,
I would love it.
It's a great opportunity.
I would love it.
But I want to know, how are they traveling? I read a story about how USC is traveling, and I would like to travel like USC.
Amtrak?
I'm just saying.
No, USC flew first class.
Oh, yeah.
They did it right.
They're on these unbelievable flights. I'm saying, how is the U of I doing that?
Are
they also getting, you know, the best?
I wonder. I doubt that they're traveling quite as luxuriously as maybe USC would be.
We normally would talk to Olin on a day like today, but obviously the Bears were off. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's driving to Oregon.
Is he really?
No. I just made that up.
Well, he should leave tomorrow.
Well, I'm saying he left today.
Both of his sons had fine games, on Saturday.
They played great.
In a game that was memorable. And I think when they look back at whatever Brett Bielema accomplishes at the University of Illinois, I do think they'll look at beating Michigan as they did on Saturday, soundly, decisively, as one of the signature victories of his program.
We have a texter who says he can't see my Wisdom Fist, but he wants me to know he's giving me the Wisdom Finger right now. I, I don't believe that's what it is intended to be, sir.
No, I don't think that's it. Just
rub Buddha's belly.
847 says that you have achieved total consciousness. Yeah. Very nice.
Thank you.
As opposed to being half conscious.
I have achieved total self-consciousness.
So tonight, Monday Night Football, we got a double dip.
Yes.
A double header.
I don't like
it. Kind of annoying, isn't it?
I don't like it.
I don't either. Chargers because, and Cardinals.
Well, it means that I can't choose one. I have to monitor both and make sure I don't miss the good one. You know what I mean?
Ravens, Bucks. That's the good one. That's the good one. I love Harbaugh, but that game should not be as close as Ravens, Bucks. John Harbaugh's defense against Baker Mayfield and that explosive offense that can hit for 51 at any given Sunday. That's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a better game.
I got to go do some research on that game.
Yeah.
I haven't spent any time on it
at all. Or money yet. All right, right now, be the sixth caller. We have a giveaway here.
Me?
Pay attention. You can pay attention, too. Okay. Sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to be part of a live studio audience for Spiegel & Holmes, Thursday, 2 to 6.
Spiegel & Holmes,
Thursday, 2 to 6, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. They'll be joined in studio by our guy, Dave Wannstedt, and other special guests that afternoon, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
That's great stuff. Those are fun events to go to.
They're great.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and Dave will be great. All right, and we'll have Dave on tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, yes. Yeah, Dave in studio.
All right, it is Mully and Haw. We've got Marshall and Dan, and we'll talk to them next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.